now one big headache.
It was awful.
I don't know how long this is going to last, but I hope not so long.
Cabs and cars jammed streets where four people in a vehicle is mandatory during rush hour. People stood for hours trying to take ferries or railroads into the city, while thousands, like Mayor Michael Bloomberg, hiked across the Brooklyn Bridge on foot.
New Yorkers are coping with day two of a mass transit strike. Millions of people have been forced to find alternate ways to get around the city.
To here, it takes about 45 minutes on the bicycle. So about the same that it would take for me to be on the subway.
Yeah, so that's the story in New York the last week with the strike. The transit strike in New York. That's what we're talking about this week on Bikescape. Welcome to Bikescape. It's the podcast that talks about bikes, culture, things people think about when they're riding on their bikes, and the things that they find themselves enmeshed in. You know, that for some reason we seem to find ourselves in the center of things. Maybe it's just my imagination, you know, maybe delusions of grandeur, but we bicyclists seem to be in the center of free speech. We seem to be in the center of labor troubles and all sorts of things. So the news media made the strike seem like total chaos. The unions, by the way, were striking in order to, usually when unions negotiate and when they settle with the management, they usually lately have been ending up getting what they can and giving up what they have to in order to survive. And usually the people that end up giving up are the future union members. They settle for these two-tier arrangements where future people end up with less than the people that are actually making the arrangements now. And what happened in New York was they refused to do that, and they wanted to keep their pensions and their medical benefits equal for the new people as well as the older union members who were moving the city of New York. As you can see, they're very essential to the city of New York. Because look what happens when they go away. Chaos and anarchy. That's the way the news media seems to portray it, in anarchy in a bad way. But the bicyclists seemed, as that last clip showed, that you know, you can actually get around New York pretty well by bicycle. And a lot of people pulled out their rusty old bikes and showed up at work, surprised to be on time. And some people had a little trouble getting their bikes into the buildings, you know, because a lot of the buildings won't allow bicycles. But by day two, a lot of that got ironed out. So I'm out here in San Francisco, where it's not snowing and the transit is running rather smoothly. But I did call up Naomi Renek, who lives in Manhattan, Chelsea, and got some inside information from her on what's going on in New York. And I did a conference call with her and Jim Dyer, who is a sometimes New Yorker. He's out here in San Francisco now, moved back here, an old friend of mine. And let's go to the interview.
All right, John.
Okay.
Time's ticking.
I got a recording here. Okay, so we're on the phone calling to cell phones via Skype, and it's just really crazy here. A conference call with Jim Dyer here in San Francisco, just across town, and then we got Naomi Renek in New York, and we're going to talk about how things are in New York with the transit strike. It sounds like it's just terrible over there if you watch the news. What's it really like?
Well, a lot of people are being inconvenienced. There's a lot of people making long walks to work, etc. Yesterday, I'd like to work every day. Yesterday was better than today. Yesterday they had two whole avenues that were completely closed to cars and open to buses and emergency vehicles, motorcycles and bicycles only. So that was a little bit of bike heaven. And that was in place this morning, but it was gone by tonight. So tonight, those streets, that was Fifth and Madison, which are two major north-south streets. And tonight, those were open to traffic. They still had one lane coned off, but in many places that was full of pedestrians. But there's definitely a lot of people biking, which is fantastic. And I think people are finding out how fast it is. But then when things go back to normal, they're going to say, shit, it's not very safe to bike in the city.
Are there a lot of cars also? I guess not on Fifth or Madison, but everywhere else.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of cars. And tonight, like, I was supposed to go over to, I was going to go over to Williamsburg, but I just, like, couldn't stomach the traffic. Because it's really just wall to wall. And, you know, I think people were willing to put up with it yesterday. But today, I think, you know, I think people are more angry. There's more leaning on horns. There's more road rage. You know, they're less, they're going into the intersections. I think yesterday, like, cars were more willing to, like, stop at the, you know, at the intersection. But now there's just a lot of gridlock and people leaning on the horns, and it's only going to get worse.
Sounds like you need some corking.
We need corking, absolutely. We need corking for the cars.
Yeah. So I understand there have been bike pools. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we had. Yeah, sure. Time's Up organized a couple bike pools. There was one yesterday morning. Basically, it's just like people getting together and riding to work. Yesterday morning, people met in Brooklyn and came over to Manhattan. I joined them in Manhattan. My usual commute is really short, right up 6th Avenue, which has a very, very teeny tiny bike lane that nobody should ever ride in. It's a death trap. But so I met them downtown a little bit. I went out of my way and met them down on Houston and 6th and rode up 6th Avenue. 6th Avenue, there was a lot of, there were like not as many cars were parked because they have a four, what they're calling HOV4 restriction, which means you can only drive over the bridge, over any of the bridges, or south of 96th Street, if you've got four people in your car.
Is that only because of the emergency, or is that always like that?
No, it's only because of the emergency. At all other times, you're welcome to drive in the city with one person in your navigator. Uh-huh. So that's only that's just for now. But I think it's a great idea. So because of that, there was. And then they limited deliveries. Like, deliveries couldn't occur during rush hour. So there weren't cars parked along the curb, which made the 6th Avenue bike lane rideable, which is very, very unusual. So the bike pool went up 6th Avenue, and people went to work. And then last night, gathered at 6
exactly?
o'clock.
What
is it?
Yeah. Flesh it out.
What is it? It's like a carpool. So people who have to go to work can ride together and socialize and talk about various issues of the day. So we have a little bit of a social gathering in the morning on the way to work. And then people ride together, and then they get off, you know, the route where they need to go, close to their office.
And was this prearranged, or did people just sort of join it?
It was prearranged. It was prearranged by Time's Up. So it was just folks that I knew, but then there was other people that there were a lot of people biking. So, you know, there was a little bit more, there was a lot more socializing than there usually is riding, because usually people just go along their way. But, you know, it's kind of unusual circumstances.
And then on the way home,
I just went to work. Right. All I did was go to work. I did my usual commute, only slower and more socially. And then, yes, go on.
No, you go on. Sorry. There's a bit of a delay, so I keep interrupting. I'm sorry.
Oh, so I can get used to my job as a war reporter, right? it was just like a social thing, a way to get together in the morning and ride to work together, even though it's not, you know, the fastest way to get to work. But last night was really nice because somebody rode up to Columbus Circle with the sound bike. Time's Up's got a bike with a trailer and, you know, a big sound system. And then the 5th Avenue was completely closed. We rode down 5th Avenue with the music playing really loud.
Oh, that sounds like
and there
fun.
Was probably about, it was a lot of fun. There's probably about 12 of us. Huh. And so that was the most fun I've had in New York since the arrest started. So it was like a little mini mass. Then we picked people up going down 5th Avenue because, you know, people like want to ride with the music. So that was really nice. And then the cops, because there's cops on every intersection. So which means less ticketing for bicycles, I think, knock on wood, because they're like very preoccupied. So I think that the cops have other things to do than ticket cyclists. We'll see how things go at Critical Mass next week. I don't think we should make any assumptions, but at least during the day, I think the cops are preoccupied.
So there's probably a lot of people that don't normally ride. I think I heard on the news a quote from somebody who, a little soundbite, somebody said, this is the first time I've been on a bike in 20 years. And do you see a lot of people like that?
Yeah, I think there's definitely people who seem like they just took the training wheels off. I think there's a lot of people who bike for, you know, on the weekends or recreationally who are now using their bikes to get to work. I'm noticing, an interesting thing I'm noticing is that the cyclist racer types, they associate, like, bicycle spandex. They're very good in traffic, and they're all decked out in their spandex going to work with a little backpack. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting mm-hmm. phenomenon. One of Barbara, who you know from Time's Up, she was at the Brooklyn Bridge this morning with her pump to pump up people's tires.
Oh, that's great.
So I think, yeah, I think she helped out a lot of people. You know, these people like to get on their bikes.
She's
going to
be passing out gloves and hats tomorrow.
Yes.
She's going to be passing out gloves and hats. The idea is to get more new people riding, or people not used to it, a little happier with riding.
Yeah, Barbara was giving out hats and gloves and pumping up people's tires. And like Jim said, just, you know, trying to make people see, like, that riding is really fun. You just need to bundle up and pump up your tires.
Oh,
and there's no problem biking in the winter.
I hope that message gets across.
I hope so. I think it will to some people. We'll see.
Anything else?
Anything else?
What's the mood there? That's what reporters always ask. What's the mood?
Well, the mood among the cyclists is very, you know, we're all very excited because there's so many people on bikes. And we think this is this great opportunity for, you know, a shift in the city's attitude towards cycling. You know, but it's hard to be optimistic given everything that's been going on. But we'll see. We'll see. Among non-cyclists, I think things are very rough for people. I think particularly for people in the outer boroughs, throughout the suburbs, if you're in Long Island, Westchester, New Jersey, you can take commuter rail into the city, even though they're a lot more crowded. But if you're like in Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, you know, it's tougher to get into the city. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, take the car part way and, you know, maybe the ferry or you know, doing kind of crazy commutes. So I think people are very frustrated. People are angry at the union. People are angry at the MTA. You know, it doesn't really – today it was sounding like both sides were digging their heels in a little deeper. I mean, and the city's losing a lot of money. There's a lot of small businesses that really rely on this time of year. And if they go under, then it's just going to be more, you know, gaps in Starbucks.
Right. All right, well, thanks a lot.
So
I'll let you go to sleep.
Sure, John. It's been a pleasure
talking
to you.
Jim, you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, all right.
I think the happiest prediction from Kevin Bolger, who's known as Squid, he said, uh-huh. It's going to be awesome because so many people are going to be biking. And I think for some people it is.
Yeah. It seems like the people that with the imagination and the ability to see it, to see the opportunity in this, is probably pretty nice for them. I'm sure there's a small number of people.
Sometimes I see this as an opportunity and are trying to do what they can to show people, hey, it's fun to bike.
Yeah. And what about the other bike groups in New York? Is there anything else happening with like transportation alternatives or anybody else or the bike
transportation
clubs?
Alternatives, they put some information on their website, and they're also doing counts. They're going to the bridges, and they found a 5-fold increase in bike traffic.
On the bridges?
And, yeah, coming from the bridges, coming into Manhattan. So that's, information that maybe we can put to use to try to stop, as you've been reporting, this attack on bicycling that's been going on in New York for the last year or so. And things like pedicabs have come, stepped up to the job here and gotten people around. And they've been attacking pedicabs. Some of the city council members are trying to stop it. So with all these things, showing how useful just everyday biking, large numbers of bicyclists, pedicabs, showing how useful all that stuff is might encourage the city to back off, I hope.
Yeah, I hope
so. But like Naomi says, you can't really predict.
Your back, I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam straight up ahead. You're just right, so hard to get through to you.
Well, since all that interview happened, things have changed. The workers are back at work. I'm not sure they don't have a contract yet, but they're negotiating. They went back to work without a contract, and everybody's happy. Everybody's getting to work on time, and traffic is back to normal, and the cops are back surveilling any little bike gathering that happens about along the way. You may have noticed in the New York Times, a journalist named Jim Dwyer, not the Jim Dyer we were just talking to, but his alter ego, Jim Dwyer, is a pretty good journalist, it turns out, for the New York Times, did a little expose on what's been going on in New York with the police surveillance of political activity, including primarily critical mass. They've actually been able to. I'll put a link on the blog to the article and to the editorial. The New York Times did a special editorial just for on this about police surveillance of protest groups at critical mass, starting with the last August of 2004 during the Republican convention. They've been infiltrating the critical mass. They've been putting riders in the ride. They've been getting the infiltrators have been getting arrested and then released. They've been actually influencing demonstrations. They had this blonde guy. This video of all this. This blonde guy that was sort of raising hell, trying to stir up some shit, basically. So not only are they surveilling innocent activities, but they're also influencing them and provoking violence, even in some cases. One of the things that was exposed was, in addition to critical mass arrests, there was a few months ago, last summer, there was an unfortunate situation where this woman was killed riding her bicycle on 2nd Avenue, I believe. And Time's Up organized a group of about 15 people, I suppose, who rode down in a memorial ride, and they went down to the place where she was met her demise, and the rider met her demise, and conducted a ceremony, and handed out flowers, and said a few words, and tried to bring some attention to the dangerous situation on New York City streets. And the whole time there were these obviously undercover police riding along and yelling things and trying to get things, you know, turn a solemn occasion into some kind of protest, and it was very odd. So in addition to that article, there's also some Tuesday. There was a discussion on a full hour on critical mass and police, New York police surveillance in New York of political groups on Democracy Now! If you ever get to listen to that radio show, it's a pretty good show. The non-corporate media, and Amy Goodman was interviewing Norman Siegel, who is a past head of the New York Civil Liberties people, and the Civil Liberties Union, and he's been working pro bono for Critical Mass and for Time's Up, and he had this to say on Democracy Now!
I think when the police department has substantial evidence, reasonable basis for having people at a First Amendment activity, I've always felt that officers in uniform, which they do have, is the best deterrent to any kind of violent activity. And the idea of putting people in non-uniform, plain clothes as well as undercover, undermines what a democracy is supposed to be about. If I go to a First Amendment peaceful protest activity, the government should not have a file or a video database of my peaceful activity. And the part that also troubles me is that when they're doing the video surveillance, what's happening to that video? If, in fact, the video shows illegal activity, then you can keep it for the criminal case, Mr. Brown. But when, in fact, the video shows no illegal activity, are you erasing that material? Are you making sure that in a democracy we don't have the government having video databases on peaceful First Amendment activity?
So, yeah, well said, Mr. Siegel. So he's you can hear that entire conversation online at democracynow.org. Check him out. You can listen to the whole thing. They have some excerpts from Still We Ride, the movie about the crackdown on critical mass in New York. So, yeah, this is something, you know, a lot of you may not really like critical mass. You know, I know there's a lot of cyclists who think that critical mass is counterproductive. I happen to disagree, but I respect those views. And funny how nobody's written to me that saying that, but I know that I know you're out there. And but even if you do feel that way, you have to really rally behind this. It could be any protest that you agree with or not. This is something that strikes at the heart of democracy and actually has destroyed the concept of democracy for a lot of people who've tried to exercise it in the city of New York. So there are things you can do. You can give money to Time's Up to help them with their legal costs. They're going through lots of lawsuits over this thing. You can donate to the ACLU. Free Wheels is a group in New York. You can look on my blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. I'm sorry, bikescape.blogspot.com. It's late. I'm tired. You can check out different places you can go to help. Eyewitness Video. I'm trying to find a link to them, but they're in New York, and they collect video that has broken a few cases. It's been very handy in this fight, and it also it was a lot of the video from that group is what led to the expose in the New York Times last week. So that you can help with them, or you can just show up at Critical Mass. You can show up at the Manhattan Critical Mass. Let's see, let me get my dates out here. I guess we're into the chain of events here. Time's Up calendar. Well, of course, the last Friday of the month. What is that this month? It's the 30th, I think. Let's just check here. Yes, the 30th, Critical Mass Manhattan, 7 p.m., Union Square Park on the north side. If you don't want to get involved in the brouhaha of critical mass, maybe you just want to bring your kids and have a nice time, maybe go out for a beer afterwards and not worry about waking up in jail the next morning, well, there's always the Brooklyn critical mass for that. For some reason, you just have to cross the East River and go to a different precinct, and critical mass is the same as it ever was. It's a wonderful wonderful ride. Everybody has a great time, just like in 200 other cities around the world. That would be in Brooklyn at 7 p.m. And speaking of memorial rides, there's going to be a memorial ride in New York on January 8th at 1 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry. The Brooklyn Critical Mass meets at 7 p.m. at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn, which is the north side of Prospect Park, near the Brooklyn end of the Williamsburg Bridge. So this memorial ride is at 1 o'clock also on the 8th of January. They leave from five places. You will have to look at their calendar because it's illegible on this calendar here that I'm reading online here. But it leaves from several places, and it's basically a memorial ride for the people who've fallen in New York and around the world. So hopefully there won't be any police surveillance on this one, but I wouldn't count on it. Here in San Francisco on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, there's going to be a night ride because New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. So, and Monday's a holiday, so we could stay up late on Sunday night. Isn't that great? And go for a great ride out late at night. We don't have midnight riders here in San Francisco. They have it in L.A., and they're starting to get it in New York, and we don't have it. So this will be our chance to enjoy a late-night ride. So Monday's a holiday. Let's bring in 2006 with a late-night Sunday evening ride. We'll roll down quiet streets to a new China Basin Park, or check out the holiday lights if the December ride is rained out. I'm not sure if that happened or not. Bring Blinkies and a tasty treat to share. Meet at the Panhandle Statue. So that Panhandle, the Golden Gate Park Panhandle, at the corner of, there's a statue near Baker Street. You'll see it. You'll see the crowd hanging out there. About 10, 15 people usually show up for these things. I hope this is a big crowd, actually. This would be great. January 28th, far in the future, a Dirty Harry bike tour. Remember the movie Dirty Harry? Clint Eastwood takes place in San Francisco. The Dirty Harry movies own the San Francisco landscape. Thank God for them for capturing a moment in the San Francisco history. The movies are damn fun, too. Please join me in paying tribute to... This is somebody else writing here. Please join me in paying tribute to the movies that drive hippies and gangsters mad with contempt as we snake through a number of the movie's locations. They'd like you to wear a helmet and bring plenty of food and water, and it says rain cancels. A bunch of wimps. For further information or a Google Earth map detailing the entire ride, please go to bittercyclist.com. I'll put a link on the website to bittercyclist.com. A climb to Coit Tower. Stretch your legs and get some great city views from the top of Telegraph Hill. As always, have front and rear lights and something to add to our ever-popular snack collection. So if you have questions, you want rain cancels, it says. If you have questions, you can write to robinm@exploratorium.edu. Anything else? I guess not. Well, that's another Bikescape. And I'm going to close the browser here. And I really appreciate you all listening. I noticed that people are out of town this time of year, and the listenership goes down, but I assume you'll all be listening to this eventually. So thanks for listening, and spread the word about Bikescape. And now for a little bit of Mr. Bungle, Pee Wee Herman theme.
It's for room 104. The name's Herman, P.W. Herman.
No, nothing right now, Mr. Herman.